30th verse to the 34th verse. Genesis chapter 25, verse 30 to verse 34. Thank you for being here. Good to see you, and Lord bless you. Amen. And the scripture said, and Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee. He said, with some red, with that same red pottage, for I'm faint. Amen. Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, behold, I am at the point of to die. And what profit shall this birthright do to me? And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he sware unto him. And he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. We are observing in this portion of Scripture two serious sins. But I would like to talk today about the greater sin. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. If you know the story of these two men, there was always a competition between them from the time they were born. They were twins. Esau was the elder, and Jacob was the younger, but not by much. The scripture says that when Esau was just about to be born, his brother reached out and grabbed him by the heel. He is saying, Big Bubba, you're beating your first, but not by much. If I could drag you back in here, I would. If I could take your place, I'd do it. He had that spirit from the beginning. He was a grabber. He was a heel grabber. He was a supplanter. He'd do anything to get ahead. Right. It didn't matter who he stepped on or who he hurt. Just get ahead in life. There's still some Jacobs around today. Their name might not be Jacob. It might be Susie. Right. Amen. It might be. It don't have to be a male to have that spirit. You, everybody, anybody can get a, that can get a hold of you. And Jacob had that spirit from the beginning. Now, it didn't help very much that there was favoritism in the family. The Bible says that Isaac loved Esau, and his wife Rebekah loved Jacob. Amen. Listen to me, parents. If you make preferences in your family, you're going to have problems in your family. If you put one child over another child in your family, you're going to have real problems in your family. Amen. It just is a fact of life. Amen. There's difficulties. There's scars that come that way. Be very careful in your family that you treat everybody the same. And do your very best to treat them equally, although they're never truly equal. Everybody is different. We are all gifted in different areas. It just happened that Esau was gifted in the area that Isaac liked. Isaac liked venison and wild game, and his son could give that to him. On the other hand, Jacob, he just stayed home and started getting rich. He wasn't much for roaming out in the field. He liked to watch his cows have twins and Watch his ewes have triplets. And, you know, he liked that. He liked raising livestock and taking care of things at home and being a rancher and being a farmer and watching things grow and prosper. He liked that. Whereas Esau was just a man of the field, a wanderer, that liked to just do his thing, his time, without discipline. Kind of looks like some folks I know today. Amen. He just liked to do what he wanted to do when he wanted to do it. Amen. And that was that same spirit got him in trouble. The Bible said that Esau came home. Now, I read somewhere, I have not found proof of this, but I read somewhere that these men were 70 years old now. Lest you think these are a couple of teenage boys, these are grown men right here. They're old enough to know what's going on. These are not children. And so Esau comes in from the field, and he's hungry. And he comes over, and Jacob is cooking a pot of beans, if you will. Pottage. Very likely it was either peas or beans that he was cooking. And he had them spiced up real good. And he may have fanned it just a little bit, his brother's direction. And so Esau comes in and he says, "Hey, brother," he says, "give me some of that pottage you got there." And Jacob said, "I will be happy to, but you got to sell me your birthright." Now I want to show you the shallowness of Esau. Esau said, "Well, man, I'm about to die right here on the spot. If I don't get some of that pottage in the next few minutes, I'll probably just perish right here." That's why you need to control your old stinking flesh. We need to get the spirit of Elder Brother Andrew Urshan when he was fasting. His stomach growled on about the 7th or 10th day, and he said, "All right, buddy, that's another week." I don't have that much discipline. But you see, he put his flesh under subjection. Esau was not going to die if he didn't get some food in the next few minutes. But you see, he allowed his flesh to have control of him. You know what? You don't need to buy everything you can buy. You don't need to buy everything you want. Amen. Praise God. We need to learn to control this flesh. Don't give in to it on everything. Don't give in to your children on everything. Hello? Don't. Now here's the real toughie. Don't give in to your grandchildren on everything. Woo! Boy, that was sneaky. We're going to get into the grandfather clause here. You know what that is? You know, Grandfather Claus and Santa Claus are real similar. Give them what they want. It's easier for mom and dad to say no than it is for grandma and grandpa to say no. It's easier for mom and dad to say, "You don't do that," than it is for grandpa and grandma to say, "Don't do that." And Brother Tenney says that's when you find out what your real convictions are. Because things that you didn't allow your children to do, it's real easy for you to allow your grandchildren to do. Things that you wouldn't buy for your children, but it's easy to buy them for your grandchildren. Now that's just good preaching. Just threw that in there, a little extra. Amen. No extra charge. You've already taken up the offering. If you want to tip a little heavy tonight, that's all right. That was worth it. It's good stuff right there. Grandfather Claus. Amen. And so the Bible says he just had his old flesh was just controlling him. Gotta have it. Gotta have it right now. Amen. Boy, the economy loves people like that. Car dealers love to see you coming. Amen. Stores open their doors wide. Well, I got to get off of this. I'm getting on a candy stick here. Amen. But you know, shopping used to be a necessity. And then it became entertainment. Then we built malls just so people could walk around, look at stuff, and buy stuff. Just for entertainment. Woo! Amen. Starbucks coffee, $5 a cup. You can brew coffee for nearly a month on $5. Water's cheap. Amen. I don't want to get in anybody's pocket here too much. And, amen. But I'm just trying to get us to see where this old flesh leads us if we're not careful. I want you to kind of see too where it's got our economy today. You know, we're in a lot of trouble right now. And used to, when people started in tough times, they started saying, you got to save your money. What are they saying now? You got to spend your money. We're about to go under here. You got to go start spending banks. You got to start loaning. We got to get some credit flowing here. I want to talk to the church a minute. You don't need to be crediting. You need to be saving. Amen. If you want to live on a biblical principle, it's not about borrowing everything you can borrow and getting all the debt you can get into. It says quite plainly, for the debtor is servant to the lender. Amen. And God said, I want you to be the head and not the tail. I want you to be the lender, not the borrower. I want you to be the blessed. Amen. And we can be that if we follow God's principles. But if we follow the world's principles, we'll not be like that. Praise God. Boy, I'm a long ways off here from what I'm supposed to be preaching. I'll hurry and get back on track here, though. Amen. That's just good advice. I'm going to quit giving advice because I can. You know, they say advice is worth what you pay for it. And you didn't pay anything for that. But it's still good anyway because it's biblical. But the Bible says that Esau had this problem that he wanted everything. Now. Got to have it right this minute. I'm going to die if I don't get it. Amen. You see, he was still a child, never learned discipline. But Jacob, on the other hand, was a supplanter. He was a schemer. I would not be at all surprised if he didn't kind of start cooking that in anticipation of his brother coming home. Just kind of hoping he didn't get anything that day. He might have been out there kind of scaring off the game. You never know. He was that kind of fella. I mean, he schemed things. He planned things. He supplanted things. He made sure things would fall his way. Yes, he did. He was good at deception. Everybody say the sin of deception. That was Jacob's sin. But let me just hasten to say, he came by it honestly. Because his grandfather Abraham also used deception. And his father Isaac also used deception. Don't be surprised if your sins show up in the lives of your children. And that's exactly how it came down the pike. Abraham deceived in Egypt. And then Isaac deceived Abimelech. And now we see the same thing rising up in the life of Jacob. Jacob was a deceiver. He was a man who had honed that to an art. So he deceives his brother. He says to him, sell me your birthright. And Esau sold him his birthright. Now, the writer says it this way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. He was a man that knew the price of things but the value of nothing. He didn't know the value of what he had and did not appreciate it. Amen. We are living in a time, folks, when that is becoming spirit of an age. People would understand the value of things that they possess. Amen. God, help us today to understand in the church that our inheritance is so valuable. What we have received from God does not have a price that money can put on it. There's nothing in this world that's equal to the grace and the gifts that God has given to His church. Amen. And there are some Jacobs that are still around. And they're going to try to take away your birthright if you're not careful. Amen. There are still some bowls of beans available for those that are willing to sell out so cheaply. The Bible says a little later in the book of Hebrews about this same man. It says, it calls him a profane person. A person that did not appreciate nor understand valuable holy things. It says that later on it said that he found no place of repentance. Though he sought it carefully with tears. Hear me today. I'm not talking about your salvation. But I am talking about some gifts that God gives and some grace that God gives that you can sell out and you can never get those things back again. Yes, you can be saved. You can repent and God will forgive. But once you sell some things, they're gone for good. Once you give up some things, you'll never get them back again. There are some precious things that you need to hold on to today. Because this world will do everything that it can to strip it away from you. But you've got to understand the value of those things. You've got to hold them in high esteem and say, this means something to me. You've got to be like Joseph, that every day he lived in a house where seduction was around him and that old woman was trying to get him. But he kept saying in his heart, I can't do this against my God. I have something valuable. I have something precious. I have my integrity. I have my righteousness. And I'm going to hold on to it regardless of what it costs me. Esau didn't have that. Esau didn't have that. Amen. Don't you listen to the world. They say, well, everybody's doing it. Don't listen to that old fogey church. Don't listen to that old fogey preacher. Don't listen to those folks. They don't know what they're talking about. We're living in a new time. We're living in a new era. Amen. Those things don't apply anymore. Yes, they do. God's laws do not change. Righteousness is always righteousness. It never changes. There are some things, folks, that you got to hold on to. Amen. And so Jacob deceived his brother. He deceived his brother. He deceived his father. You remember the story how that he dressed up like he was Esau, put some animal skin on his hands, the back of his neck, and went in so his father could feel him all hairy and smell like the outdoors. And he just did his very best. He deceived his own dad that was blind. But you know what? Even though it was a great sin, he had the wrong motive. He had the wrong way to go about it. But he had his eye on a prize. He understood the value of the prize, even if he went after it the wrong way. His brother didn't understand the value of what he had. But Jacob said, oh, you got something precious, brother. You don't know how precious that is. I'll do anything to get my hands on that. And he got it the wrong way. But he valued what he had. He understood how important it was, the birthright that was his. Amen. And so he found a place of repentance. Yes, he did. You remember the story of Jacob. Yes, it took him a long time. It was a long journey. Amen. Sometimes it's hard to get things out of us. Amen. There are some things you may work a lifetime trying to get out of you. Hear me. Are you listening to what I'm saying today? Don't you condemn people that struggle with certain things because you struggle with other things. I know people that have never conquered their anger problems. I know people that have never conquered their pride problems. I know people that have never conquered their judgmental problems. I know people that have spiritual maladies in their lives that are just as great as somebody else's physical problem that they're dealing with. Amen. Hey, folks, we don't have it made yet. Jacob dealt with this a long time. He battled it. Amen. It took him a long time to overcome, but he won the victory. One night he went over the brook Jabbok, and he had an all-night prayer meeting. Hallelujah. Amen. And he wrestled with the angel. Amen. And the angel said, "The morning's about to come. Let me go." And he said, "I'm not going to let you go till you bless me. I got to have something I'm hanging on here." We need that same Jacob spirit today that'll lay hold of righteousness and get a hold of the angel of the Lord and say, "I'm not going to let you go till you bless me. I gotta have it, and I gotta have it now. It can't wait till tomorrow. I've gotta have it tonight." And when we get that desperate, we usually get what we want. I remember when I was seeking the Holy Ghost, I would go down and I would pray for the Holy Ghost, and I didn't get the Holy Ghost. For several months, I didn't get the Holy Ghost. But the first night of the youth camp, June the 19th of 1967, when the altar call was given, I did not say, "I'm going to go down and pray for the Holy Ghost." I said, "I'm going to go receive the Holy Ghost." Hallelujah. And I wasn't down there very long until I was talking in tongues. And God had filled me with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You see, you got to make up your mind that you're going to get it. And hang on until the victory comes. Hallelujah. 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 Not I'm going to pray for it another time. Not I'm going to ask for it another time. But I'm going to get it this time. Because I'm going to hang on till the victory comes. Amen. So the Bible says God blessed him, gave him a new name, changed his life, changed his lineage, changed everything for all of time. Jacob, the supplanter, became Israel, for thou as a prince hast power with God. Hallelujah. My, what a change in his life. But what about Esau? What about the greater sin? Deception is a sin. Lying is a sin. Deceiving your brother is a sin. It's a despicable sin. It's a horrible sin. Amen. I'm going to tell you what Esau's sin was. Esau's sin was simply indifference. Easy come, easy go. No backbone. No appreciation for something precious. Amen. Just indifference. What difference does it make? What is it we say today? Whatever. That was his attitude. Whatever. You want my birthright? I'm going to die if I don't get some beans here in a minute. Whatever. Amen. I want it and I want it now. Whatever. Indifference. That was a sin. Indifference. Amen. I want what I want. I want it now. Instant gratification. Amen. Boy, Madison Avenue learned how to sell that really well. You can have it now. Sign on the dotted line. You can have it now. You can have it all. You don't have to wait. You can have it now. Hollywood learned how to sell that. Amen. You don't have to wait till marriage. You can have it now. Enjoy yourself now. Amen. Praise God. Just try everything out now. How do you know? Try it now. No appreciation for the precious. Despising what is pure. Despising what is good. Despising what is precious in the sight of God. Despising what is righteous. Amen. Indifference. Folks, that's the spirit we battle today. A spirit of indifference. Spirit of Esau. It's on every hand. It's on every side. Amen. So the Bible says that he despised his birthright and he sold it for a bowl of beans. What did he sell? First of all, he sold the right to be the priest in his family, the spiritual head of his family, the privilege to hear from God for his family. He sold a double portion, that is, that two parts of everything that his brother would, one part for everything his brother would receive, he would get two portions. He had one brother, his brother was going to get one third, and he was going to get two thirds of everything that Papa had. He was going to get a double portion. He said, whatever! Amen. He was going to be the head of the house. He was going to be the boss. He was going to be the head and not the tail. Whatever. He was going to receive the family blessing from God. And then he would pass that on to the children. Just as his father would lay hands on his head and bless him with all of his blessings. He would one day bless his children and his grandchildren. Whatever. He was going to be in the lineage of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Whatever! Sell it for a bowl of beans. The Bible says it quite plainly in Romans 9 and 13. Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. You know what he hated about Esau? It was that spirit of indifference. You know what? That spirit can get into the church. That spirit can get in saints of God that have lived for God for a long time. Whatever. You can sit on a pew and you can just have a mediocre service. And your devotion to God can be a mediocre devotion. And your prayer can be a mediocre prayer. And your worship can be mediocre worship. Because you got the attitude, whatever. Amen. We can get lackadaisical about evangelism. And forget the reason we exist as a church is not to be a spiritual bless me club and park ourselves on a pew Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night and just open our arms and say, bless me, Lord, and forget that we're here to take the whole gospel to the whole world. And forget that the people that we work with day in and day out are lost and still going to hell. Do we still believe that? And secondly, do we care? If we care, what are we doing about it? You know what happens when you don't have your eyes on the Lord and don't have your eyes on the prize? You get your eyes on your brother's inheritance. And you start backbiting and nibbling on one another. And we become spiritual cannibals eating one another up. Gossiping about one another. Talking about one another. Tearing one another down. Woo! That's what the spirit of inheritance of indifference does to you. You want what's not yours. You want what is not given to you. And you see what your brother has, and you want what he has, and you despise what God has given to you. And you don't understand the value of what you have received. That's the spirit of indifference. And it eats us up when we lose sight of what we're supposed to keep our eyes on. Amen, Brother Hart. Every time we come in the sanctuary, we ought to remember the pit from which we were digged.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
And we should never look down on anybody. Ever, 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 ever. But we should always remember, God, that was me. I was filthy. I was vile. I was undone. I was bound. I couldn't get out of my sins. But you had mercy on me, and you were good to me, and you forgave me, and you filled me with your precious Holy Ghost, and you gave me your lovely name, and you washed me in your blood. Let's don't despise what we've been given and become indifferent. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I know sometimes it's easy. We got our problems. We have pressures on every side. All these things going on. But friend, don't lose sight. Don't lose appreciation. Oh, God, help us, Brother Hart. When you were preaching this morning, I couldn't help but think about it. We don't need to choose pride. We can choose gratitude. You don't have to get proud and lifted up because I ain't like that no more. But you need to always be thankful. I am what I am by the grace of God. Not because of any good thing in me. It's all because of Him. To God be the glory. Paul said it, didn't he say it? For by grace are you saved. And that not of yourselves. Amen. He said, not of our self-righteousness or goodness. None of our works. Yeah. Lest any man should boast. By grace are you saved. Help us, God, not to lose sight of how precious this is. Amen. Praise God. Don't ever lose sight of it. Don't ever forget. Don't ever forget. Don't ever forget. Always remember. Your birthright, folks, is precious. And don't you forget what it cost. Somebody said that salvation is free. Might be for us, but it wasn't for him.
That's right.
My, what a price he paid. Don't ever let me forget that. Please, don't ever let me get indifferent. Don't let me get down to the place where I forget what this cost, how precious this is. Amen. Don't let me lose that. And don't let me sell it for a bowl of beans. Don't ever let me just get the whatever attitude. Brand it, God, in my heart. Burn it into my mind. Let me always be thankful and grateful. In closing, Hebrews said this. Paul, and I preached about it not too long ago. Paul said, how shall we escape if we neglect? Everybody say neglect. Isn't that an awful word? Isn't that an awful word? How shall we escape if we neglect? Just don't pay attention to. Just let it slide. Just get your attention off of the most precious thing that you possess if we just neglect so great salvation. God, help me not to neglect it. I've seen it. You ever seen what happens to a house that gets neglected? You know what happens to a car that gets neglected? And those are not really all that precious in the scheme of things. You know what happens to a salvation that gets neglected? Do you know what a relationship with God, you know what happens to it if it gets neglected? Let's don't neglect it today. Let's make it our priority and our prize. Our greatest possession, our greatest valuable. It means more than anything to me. How about you? Amen. Let's stand together. Amen. Be very careful. Don't let the spirit of Esau, the greater sin, the sin of neglect, the sin of indifference, don't let that get a hold of you. We read it from time to time in the newspaper quite often. I was reading the other day about somebody that in a city fell down on the sidewalk. They were having some kind of a physical problem. They laid right there and died while people walked around them. One man was stabbed, and some people come up with their cameras and took pictures of him while he bled to death. And never opened that telephone and dial 911. I read about a man that was frozen in an elevator shaft. There were people living in that building, and they had lived there for months, and they never picked up the phone and called about a man that had become a block of ice. Did you know about it? Yeah, but I figured it was just something. Everybody had an excuse. Nobody took any action. Finally, somebody called a reporter. He went out there and saw this situation. He called 911. He had to call 3 times over a period of half of a week to get anybody to come check it out. Indifference. We weep when it's in the world. We're outraged when it's in the world. But what about when it's in our church? What about when it gets in me? What about when it gets in you? That's the preacher's job. That's the pastor's job. Hey, that's up to him. It doesn't matter to me. Somebody comes to the altar to pray, and they come by themselves. Amen. Well, you know, I'm in a hurry. Aren't you glad somebody took time for you? Aren't you glad somebody took some time to pray with you? Somebody let the roast get a little overdone because you needed somebody to pray with you. Somebody didn't care if Dairy Queen closed because you needed somebody to pray with you. They were not indifferent. God, deliver us from this spirit of indifference. Help us have a burden. Give us something that'll make us care. Amen. Let me open the altar today. I really think we need to come and pray a little bit. Lest this spirit of Esau, God deliver us. God help us. Deliver us from the greater sin.